Checkmate by C. Flint. Tom McBride had just swallowed the last of his Negroni when Jason Langtree stormed into Vitello's Italian restaurant. The neurosurgeon and the chess prodigy had planned a celebratory dinner to follow game two of the Centaur Chess World Championship. Langtree had lost the first of the five games, but he had been confident he would beat Nikola Jelinek, that last century antique, on the second. McBride had an earlier warning than the petulant entrants, however. InfoNews Online had wasted no time reporting Jelinek's victory. Tough luck. Langtree grunted at him and dived into a chair, one running shoe unlaced. McBride waggled a finger at his companion's sweats. Is that what you wore for the competition? What? Langtree looked down his torso and then swept his gaze up and down McBride's ample body encased in a high-quality three-piece suit. I suppose that's a silk tie. I prefer comfort, thank you very much. He grabbed the condiment tray, knocking his menu to the floor. He arranged the salt shaker, a bud vase, and sugar packets around the checkered tablecloth. How did the bastard do it? Langtree muttered as he stared at his recreation of the chessboard just before he lost to Jelinek. It's over. Relax, McBride said. You have 4 months before the next game. A waiter stood deferentially at McBride's elbow. Langtree ignored them both, desperately trying search patterns into his centaur, chanting, I've got to find that move. I've got to find that move, under his breath. Resigned, McBride placed both orders. The Centaur was the ultimate chess player's crib sheet, 2 terabytes of storage. Players of Centaur chess chose their own content, game diagrams, analysis, commentary, anything except algorithms to actually play the game. Langtree entered the board layout of Jelinek's move, searching for any discussion of its history. As results came up, he ferociously flipped through the screens, scrutinizing and discarding each until his hands stilled. Got it. Jelinek had used the move during the 2030 championship. An analyst described it as Jelinek's improvement on a move in the 1972 Fischer-Spassky match. In 1972, Jelinek had played professional chess for 6 years. Langtree finally looked up at his friend. Bastard knows too much just because he happened to be alive then. McBride tried to change the topic. So, he said, can you spend time with a friend now? Get away from chess for an evening? The guy's in his 90s, Langtree complained. Obviously not, McBride sighed. He's been playing at the championship level for 74 years to my 20. How do I beat a 50-year advantage? Langtree asked. McBride nodded to the waiter, who placed platters before each man. Langtree pushed his aside to lean into the table-coombe chessboard. I know I'm smarter, he said. I play better off book. It's just he has so much more book in his head. Langtree absently used his fingers to relocate a chicken morsel from his plate to his mouth. He slid the bud vase 2 squares over. He chewed contemplatively for a few moments, then moved the vase back to its original position. I don't understand, McBride answered. He paused to savor the smell and then the taste of his Chopino. He closed his eyes in appreciation. He touched his mouth with a corner of his napkin and continued, You have your chess computer, so all you have to do is load up the move, right? How can I load up a move I don't know about? Langtree hissed. And even if I did, there's a limit to what I can load. The more information you hold in your head, the less time you spend searching the centaur. That's the whole point of centaur chess. It's a combination of human memory and skill with computers. That would be a cyborg, not a centaur. Langtree waved off the non sequitur. The World Chess Association voted, folks like centaur. He shrugged. That doesn't matter. The point is, Nikola Jelinek has had an advantage merely because of his age. I need my own edge to overcome his. The 60-year-old McBride was amused. He knew chess masters tended towards social clumsiness, Langtree particularly. The 2 bachelors who occupied neighboring condos recognized in each other the loneliness of genius. They shared a weekly dinner at Vitello's where a table was reserved for them. Langtree kept McBride young. The older man helped to polish the younger. McBride chuckled. So, you want to hang him for being old? Langtree's face flushed. Not exactly, he said, but yeah. He paused. Well, not so much for being old, but for the way he patronizes me. I'm sick of it. Conversation lagged while Langtree brooded and McBride relished his meal. How about a change of subject? McBride suggested. Langtree shrugged, which McBride took as permission, if not encouragement. The third phase of my grant came through this week. Now we go ahead with human trials. We hope to be set up within a year. Langtree nodded. So, what is the procedure? What it's for? McBride placed his napkin to the side of his plate, sipped from his water goblet, then leaned forward to continue. As chess was Langtree's obsession, McBride's was neuroscience. Actually, it's reminiscent of the cyborg we mentioned earlier. We're studying how human neural nets and the internet compare. We found fundamental similarities functionally. So, Langtree let the words float over him, filling the occasional pauses with neutral grunts or hums while he replayed the last game with varying counter moves. The more he analyzed Jelinek's moves, the more he understood his opponent. Despite the hype surrounding the chess star, he wasn't invincible. There had to be a way to beat him. So, the NeuroNet link might help our patients cope with Alzheimer's. Not a cure. But the memory enhancement was successful in most of the animal weight. Langtree's attention snapped to his friend. Memory enhancement? NeuroNet link? What's that? That's what I've been telling you. We're enhancing memory and maybe even improving it with a NeuroNet link that stimulates the hippocampus and entorhinal cortex. We use high-frequency oscillations. Forget the jargon. You're telling me you can hook my brain directly to the net and I can use the net as my own memory? McBride hesitated. Well, that's an oversimplification. We'll know more when we do human trials, but essentially, yes. Langtree leaned back. Good. I want it. Can you do it and have me ready before the next tournament? No, I'm not going to operate on you. That's unethical. You said human trials. I'm human. Sometimes I wonder. McBride failed to smother his smile, but sobered when Langtree lifted his chin and narrowed his eyes. Look, the neurosurgeon sighed. There are procedures I have to follow. You have to apply. A committee needs to sort the applications to balance the test population across variables. This is not a benign procedure. There are risks. So, I'll fill out an application. I'll sign waivers. Anything. Just do me first. McBride blustered. Langtree countered. They haggled. Finally, over coffee and a cognac for McBride, they had a deal. Okay. McBride leaned back, rubbing tight neck muscles. Assuming you pass the evaluation, you'll be included in the study. I'll get you the paperwork and process the application. Assuming the committee accepts it, we can start the evaluation tests next week. He cradled the snifter between his hands. When he judged the liqueur to be at the right temperature, he took a sip and rolled the spirits on his tongue. But Jason, no guarantees. 4 months is a tight time schedule. The evaluation testing and analysis runs 2 months, but I'll see if I can fast track it. Add in post-surgical recovery, idiosyncratic complications, and therapy before we can activate the link. More tests once the link is activated. If it works, you will have little time to adapt before the tournament, and it might not work. I understand. I'm in. The fast-tracked evaluation period took 5 weeks. The long surgery was successful, but recovery lasted 2 months. There were complications. The surgery disrupted Langtree's speech center, and he required speech therapy. He had difficulty reading, which added an ophthalmic consult. He had weeks of physical therapy to coordinate his body to his new brain. Worst of all, Langtree could not keep his mental focus. McBride assured him this was a common thing for brain surgery. Post-surgical fatigue decreased focus, even for a chess master. As he recovered, so would his ability to focus. It would just take time. The week before the rematch, McBride reluctantly cleared his patient for the NeuroNet link activation. It was earlier than the neurosurgeon liked, but Langtree needed the time for his preparation. As his first test, Langtree researched the 1972 move Jelinek adapted and used to win his last game. Fisher's attack on Spassky's king was a turning point in Game 3 of their series. Langtree's recall was instantaneous. He spent the next 5 days surfing chess history back to the 6th century India. Initially, his focus barely held 10 minutes. At that point, he would recall random data irrelevant to his intended search. He practiced. He pushed himself. By the eve of the event, he could hold focus up to 3 hours, a comfortable margin in a speed chess round. As ready as he could be, he retired early. At the appointed hour, Langtree settled into his place behind the black pieces, sporting torn jeans and a flannel plaid shirt with two missing buttons. He was busy rolling up the shirt sleeves when Jelinek arrived. The Czech chess master bowed slightly to his opponent, sniffing at the informal attire, then slid his navy blue suited self into the seat before the white pieces. The tournament officials brought in the timers. Each of the two LED displays were preset for 15 minutes. Langtree would need to move quickly, especially at the beginning, to reserve time he would need as the game progressed. Sweat beaded on his forehead. He convinced himself he was eager, not nervous. An official hand hovered over the timer. It fell sharply to punch Jelinek's display into action. The first 6 moves took only 15 seconds. On the 7th, Jelinek paused to consider the board. Langtree plotted his opponent's options, then checked White's time. The displays were framed in walnut and finished with shellac, as indicated by the warm amber color due to the secretions of the female lac bug. A spectator's cough brought Langtree back to the game. He was already down a few seconds on his timer, and he lost more time as he studied Jelinek's layout. White's position gave Black an opening for the 1943 Nimzo Indian defense. Swiftly, Langtree moved his piece and tapped his timer button. Jelinek did not recognize the play. He used precious moments to consult his centaur, moved a pawn, and slapped his button. Langtree searched his new memory for an appropriate response. Examining the board, he noticed the multicolored wood grain of his pieces. The Kasar ebony, Diasporos celebica, from Indonesia, whose neighbor was Singapore. The island nation had once been part of the British Empire, but declared its independence in 1963. Langtree floundered in a flood of information. 1963 was the year of Kenya's independence and Kennedy's assassination. Kennedy was decorated for his service as commander of 3 different PT boats in World War II. The PTs were utilized mostly in the Pacific Theater, where naval fleets moved across the oceans like chess pieces across a board. The reference to chess forced Langtree's focus back to the game and his timer. With 1 second left to his turn, he thrust a pawn forward. Not a good move, but an innocuous one. McBride had warned him about focus and exhaustion, but he and Jelinek were only 6 minutes into the game. It was too soon for fatigue. Chilled sweat slid down Langtree's spine. Maybe it wasn't exhaustion. Maybe this was a stress response, a defense mechanism of the brain. The human brain, cortex, cerebellum, basal ganglia, and the brainstem, occipital lobe, frontal lobe, temporal lobe, parietal lobe, located in the middle section of the brain, time default. White wins. The arbiter's cry jerked Langtree out of the flood. He hadn't noticed Jelinek's move. Mouth agape, he stared at his timer, where a red LED light flashed above the time readout. The game was over. And Langtree had lost. This game, the championship, his chess prowess. The names of every losing contestant in every chess tournament in history marched across his mind. The end.